So, what have you learned so far that's a very important ingredient? What? Oxygen. If you want to reverse any chronic disease, priority, you have to have oxygen first. You can eat all you want, you can have all the good food that you want. But to power up the mitochondria, you have to have oxygen. That's why, for a health maintenance, you need to exercise. And that's part of the lifestyle. After this, before you start the Gerson, you should be in a good lifestyle. And even after the Gerson, you need to maintain that lifestyle of exercise. Which exercise do you think is probably the most important? Cardiovascular or weight training? So you're getting it, right? Very good. Walking, great. Brisk walking, okay? Weight training, if you only do weight training, you're using glycolysis pathway. Okay? But if you do the cardiovascular exercises, that's the aerobic pathway you're trying to access and which is needed in the mitochondria. So the nutritional supplements in the Gerson therapy is designed to help power up the cell, assist in the cell powering up. It also assists your body to break down food by enzyme action. It also assists the body to break down the wall of the cancer through to basically, in layman's term, to melt down the cancer. You need enzymes, lots of it, which the pancreas normally produces, but with a diseased person, it doesn't. Excuse me. So you need lots of enzymes. Basically, every food that you eat, every meal, you need some enzyme supplements, and also every drink that you drink, you should put some enzyme supplements in that drink, even though the drink, fresh vegetable juice, has its own enzyme. Maybe not as much as the food, but you need to put some if you are very weak. Very weak. If you're fairly strong, you may not need it in the drinks. Then you need to support the thyroid. Now, many people in the US have hypothyroid, which is interesting because all the cancer cases, without question, have diminished thyroid function. Very interesting. All chronic disease have a diminished thyroid, but with cancer, it's especially important because thyroid is needed to control the metabolism. That's what generates metabolism, is when you are generating heat. So body temperature is controlled, and the thyroid has a big role in that. Now, you can exercise and increase the heat without the thyroid, but it's temporary, and you might be too weak to exercise. So you don't want to go that route because then you will lose the energy needed to heal. So if you're weak in the Gerson therapy, don't exercise. You cannot exercise if you are weak. Only when you feel strong. So this is where this is a therapy. This is not a lifestyle. So if you have stage four cancer, no exercise. No exercise. But how do you get oxygen without exercise? We'll have to talk about that afterwards. Pancreas support. Oh, before I mention that pancreas support, the thyroid is extremely important because, as I said, most people, if you're not hypothyroid, you have signs of diminished thyroid function. And the best way to test that is to do a basal temp reading. Now, the basal temp reading is taken from the armpit. So get a thermometer and stick it in your armpit and check it first thing in the morning. And it needs to be reading between 97.8 to 98.2 degrees Fahrenheit. that's when we know that your thyroid function is normal. But you know what's interesting? What I've seen, over 90% are 1 to 2 degrees lower. And I would say most Americans are about 1 degree lower than normal. You're cold. You would have to be practically running, jogging every day to maintain that body heat. That's why exercise is very important in lifestyle. Don't expect your thyroid to work for you all the time. It's being bombarded by radiation, the atmosphere, all those things are the toxic pollutants. It's destroying the thyroid. Incredible. So that's why we have an epidemic of low thyroid function people. Now you are at risk, because if thyroid has a role, very important role, in regulating metabolism, if the thyroid is knocked out, do you think that's the environment that the cancer wants? Absolutely. See, everything comes into picture. If you want cancer to progress, the cancer needs a certain amount, certain types of environment. It needs sugar. We all know that. It needs low oxygen, anemia. We know that now. Why? It needs a low thyroid function. And the greater majority of Americans have a low thyroid function. The sign of that is you feel cold all the time. You're putting on a sweater when most people are not. You have a low thyroid function. You're cold. When you go to a hotel and your husband wants to turn it cooler and you turn it up, low thyroid function. You have difficulty concentrating. Low thyroid function. You're losing hair. See, all those symptoms. Losing hair more than normal. Okay? So if your thyroid is down, you're at risk of any chronic disease because that decreases the metabolism. So it's all about metabolism. People who have a high thyroid function rarely get sick. Now, high in the normal range, of course. Now, if you are hyperthyroid or close to being a hyperthyroid, meaning too much thyroid activity, you have, of course, problems with that, but that's nothing compared with low thyroid. In fact, it's better to be close to a hyperthyroid than towards the middle. Yes? If your thyroid can just function a little more, you will probably have very little illness. Yeah. So most people that I see, most people that go to the doctor's office have low thyroid or a sign of diminished function of the thyroid. So we need to boost the thyroid. And the thyroid, there's a lot of things out there that will destroy the thyroid, lots of foods out there. And I don't want to discuss that too much because sometimes it can be controversial, but it is out there. Even in the vegetarian world, we see a lot of hypothyroid issues, and the reason why, there's something in the food they're eating in the vegan world that I know has a relationship to a low thyroid function, and you have to ask me that. I'm not going to tell you because it's controversial. Do you want to know? Yeah, this church, I said it's controversial. That's okay. Pastor, is that okay? It's a controversial, but there's one thing in the vegan world that people are doing that is hurting the thyroid. You know what that is? Can somebody guess? Soy. Yes, I love soy. I came from the Asian country. But if you can avoid that, Charlotte Gerson said, and they say, don't eat soy. If you have cancer, If you don't have cancer, you can probably be okay. But if you start to notice a diminish in your normal function, you start getting chronic issues of gut problems. It starts in the gut, by the way, all diseases. You better consider changing to a different product. Okay? Soy has a lot of negative things that most of us don't realize. It has incredibly high enzyme inhibitors. Enzyme inhibitors, that means your enzymes have to work so hard to break down soy, you will lose that capacity of the pancreas. You have to basically deactivate the soy. And the way to do that is you have to cook it really high temperatures, which really hurts the food. And it has things in there that will interfere with the thyroglobulin, which is the protein to make thyroid hormone. It has, it can do some things like agglutination. Wow. There's 10 different things that I've read. And so it goes along with the Gerson principle that you really need to reduce the anything that could damage a thyroid. You know one thing about I learned about thyroid? You cannot very easily reverse thyroid disease. You may have to remain on a thyroid medication all your life. And the amount of flying that we're doing all over the world, you know, to and fro flying, the radiation exposure. If you get radiation therapy for the head, for somewhere in the head, be prepared. Your thyroid will be affected. Not only that, you will form cancer later on. That's a sad thing. Okay, so the thyroid is so important. There's a lot of topics there I don't want to get into because time is a constraint here. Pancreas. You need to support the pancreas with digestive enzymes. And the enzymes in the pancreas are mainly amylase, lipase, and protease. Those three enzymes. And the pancreas is responsible for three main actions. Digestion of food, digestion of as a tumor digestion, so it's basically to digest tumor cell wall. So the body has a protective mechanism there. So basically, it's an immune support. And then the third is for biochemical functions in the mitochondria and all over the cell. So without the pancreas, it's very hard to get better. So you could be eating all the good foods, but it's not absorbing. So your weight is down and you have low energy. You can't get glucose into your body. It's definitely not going to hit the mitochondria level. So you need to support it with different herbal supports. There's thyroid supports. There's animal extracts and there's herbal extracts. You have to choose. You know, Dr. Gerson, I said, he wasn't a Seventh-day Adventist, so he doesn't know. That time, he was talking about things that are all natural. But we today know a lot about herbs, the power of the herbal medicine. So you need to know what you're doing to help support the thyroid, to help support the pancreas, to help support the liver. Milk thistle, for example, will help to reduce the toxic load in the liver. So you can take some milk thistle supplements or milk thistle tea. And you can even do some liver gallbladder flush. Have you heard of that? So the flush has been around a long time, standard with olive oil and lemon juice. You just drink that and then wait for it to flush. But don't just do it if you have stones, though. You need some guidance because if the stones get stuck along the way, it might send you to ER. So you need to prepare. There's rules. And there's published out there. So read those books. Make sure that you do the preparation before you do the flush. And you can't do it all the time. It's like once a month. It's very hard on the system. It's energy draining. And also, there's some formulas, herbal formulas out there by Dr. Schultz. Have you heard of Dr. Schultz? He has liver, gallbladder formulas that you can get. They even have a parasite formula You know, what's interesting is there are many people that say cancer is caused by a virus. Have you heard of that? There is a virus connection. Yes, there is. Some people say cancer is caused by yeast, candida. Have you heard of that? Yeah, there is a connection. So interesting. You know, I thought there are, there's a cause here and there. You know what's interesting? In the literature, you will hear about virus all the time. In the scientific literature, there's a virus connection. You know what's interesting, though? Without oxygen, do you think bacteria likes oxygen? The bad ones? No. Do you think virus thrives in oxygen? How about parasites? Do you think it likes oxygen? Think about a swamp. Okay? A swamp. What do you find in a swamp? All kinds of things. All critters. Right? Filth. And do you think there's a lot of oxygen in a swamp? How about a dirty fish tank? Do you think there's lots of oxygen in there? Yeah. They all live together in the same environment. Which came first, the chicken or the egg? Just know the environment is the real issue. We've got an environmental problem internally, not just externally. We live and breathe the air. We eat whatever is out there. And you think you can change the environment inside that is different from the outside? You are as good as you are in the environment. If you want to change the internal environment, you have to do something extra if you're going to reverse the disease. Otherwise, you're just going to be where you are. So it's a step up. You have to clean out faster than it builds up. It's like washing your fish tank every week instead of once a month. I don't know. It's been a long time since I owned fish. Okay, so the other thing is niacin is vitamin B3. It's involved in metabolism and in the mitochondria. So you have to support the mitochondria with vitamin B3, niacin. It's involved in the metabolism. If you notice, you remember that NAD in there, in the biochemistry? Okay? That's involves niacin. CoQ10 is another antioxidant that's needed in for support of the metabolism. CoQ10. It's not. There's two types of CoQ10. There's ubiquinol, is what you want, and not the other kind, which is I can't remember now. Ubiquinone. Ubiquinone is not the active form. You want the ubiquinol form, OL form, of CoQ10. And then the vitamin B12, which is very important for red blood cell production, for brain function, for stress management, you have to have a lot of vitamin B12s. You don't get toxic with B12. You can get over amounts of B12 and you'll be fine because it's non-toxic. So in the Gerson therapy, we have them either inject B12 or take large amounts of B12. And if you run a B12 test, it will be super high, but it's nothing to worry about. In fact, I don't order the B12 because we already give them anyway, and it's going to be expected to be high. You will not get toxic, never. It's water-soluble. It will come out of you. It's not toxic. I've never seen anyone suffer from an overdose of B12. So liver detoxification. As I mentioned to you, there are herbal supports for that, like milk thistle is one, and then you can do the liver gallbladder formula from Dr. Schultz, having all kinds of herbs in there, and you can get that online. So there's many methods, but here's the problem. If you don't detoxify the liver, you're going to create a bottleneck at the liver because the liver is like the place where you can get it out of the bloodstream into the GI tract. So to get to the intestine from the blood, it has to run through the liver. And remember, the entire blood supply runs through the liver every 3 minutes. So that liver is filtering all those poisons that's coming from upstream. If you don't get it out of the liver fast enough as it's building upstream, what do you call that? If you don't get the poisons out of the bloodstream downstream as fast as it's building up upstream, what will happen to the liver? It will be so toxic that it will eventually break down and stop functioning, and that's what we call a comatose liver. Dr. Gerson talks about the comatose liver. So it's very important to assist the liver out. So you're doing all the steps along the way. You're eating high fiber, because fiber is needed to move food, to move toxins, to capture it as it's coming out of the bile, out of the bile duct. So you're capturing, because the fiber is like a brush. It cleans your intestinal tract. So eating lots of vegetables, fruits, these are all fiber. So you're getting and moving them out. At the same time, you are drinking lots of juice, which dumps a lot of these poisons that are inside the cell into the bloodstream, and now the bloodstream is taking it out, and hopefully the liver can get it out fast enough. If you don't get it out fast enough, then you're going to end up with increased toxicity in your body, which we'll discuss, and it's called a toxic reaction. That's when you feel worse than you started. And that's when your doctor says, see, I told you, it's time for chemo. And then you'll say, you know, I'm not better, so I guess you're right. But you failed to recognize that step. And that's why it's good to know what to do. You need to help the liver to detoxify if you want to get the extra hurdle, go over that hurdle, so that you can feel much better afterwards. So Dr. Gerson knew a vegan diet was necessary because it had high fiber. He knew that you have to support the liver if you want to get the poisons out of there. It's a plumbing. If you are a plumber, how many of you, is there any plumbers here? Or how many are handymen that know how to plumb? Just a few. If you knew how to plumb, you would recognize this directly. It's all about, it's really, really functional medicine. You're really understanding the process of where things are going, and you need to understand anatomy and physiology. That's why we only accept physicians or anyone that is a doctor of something, either doctor of a naturopathic doctor, medical doctor, osteopathic doctor, acupuncturist, because they go through a program that is intensive, and a nurse practitioner. You have to be able to be a physician from your own field to manage, because you understand the physiology and the biochemistry, and we can only accept these kinds of practitioners to train them to be Gerson practitioners. You can't just train anyone because they don't understand how to move this plumbing system. It's very crucial. So you have to support the liver. If you don't do that, you will get sicker, and like I said, that's when you get the negative rap, very bad rap. They will tell you, I told you you're not going to get better. I told you it's a quack. I told you. You know, it's just one of those things. It's a lack of recognition of what the poison, where it needs to go. So as soon as it gets into the intestinal tract and you're eating a high vegan diet to push it out, and you're assisting the liver, the bloodstream will stay fairly low in the toxin level, and you will not get sick. You may feel a fever, which is another thing that we'll talk about called a healing inflammation. So your body has to heal, and a fever is increasing the potential of healing because your white cells are necessary to come up in the bloodstream in order to deal with this disease. Now, this is very interesting. How many of you have heard of ozone? Can you raise your hand? That's very few. You know where that technology came from? What country?
Germany.
I want you to remember that, please. The Germans. Why are they so smart? Why? Did you know that it's been around since the 1800s? ozone has been around since the 1800s. And the German doctors know about this. And today, there are more than 8,000 German doctors using this technology all the time. Because those countries have a dual system of alternative and traditional, side by side, just like Cuba. Many socialist countries, they do it because they do better when they have the alternative, because it improves the care. But when you have a system that's based on a business model, okay, a business model in medicine, it's not the right way to go. That's the best I can say. It's just not the right way to go. But this has been around, and you need to know it, because if you cannot exercise, you can't get oxygen. How do you get it? Ozone is a triatomic energized oxygen. It's O3, not O2. O3. You know, God has given us wisdom in this world that if we knew what to do, we can put the power back to the mitochondria. Wow. How do you get this? Well, you know, in the early days, they got a machine that will basically break down oxygen atoms. So you run an electricity in a glass tube, and you flow oxygen through it. And what happens then is it breaks the oxygen from O2 to just a single oxygen atom. But then they recombine back. Some of them become O3. And I'll explain that more in a little while when we go into the actual some cases. But what happens is that when you're in an O3, it raises the energy level of that molecule to become very unstable. So it's at a higher energy level. Okay, do you like energy, yes or no? Yes. It's a higher energy level than a normal oxygen that you breathe. So O3, you cannot breathe, but O2, you can breathe. O3 is very harsh on your breathing. In fact, that's how they measure the pollutants in smog. They check the ozone level, and that's when they tell you it's very unhealthy to breathe the air. But in reality, it's not the ozone that's being a problem, although a high concentration can hurt you, but that's not what's causing problem with pollution. It's the hydrocarbons. But since it's very expensive to test the hydrocarbons, it's easy to check ozone. They use that as the index to measure the overall pollutants in the air. And so when they say the high ozone, then it's not healthy to breathe. But the ozone itself is not the main problem. You got it? It's just cheap to measure ozone. You always breathe ozone when you're on the ocean. It's the freshness. It's after a rain. You like walking outside after rain? You feel invigorated, right? Oxygen, remember? Energy? I love oxygen. Because that's the breath of life. Okay? Now, the ozone is because it's an energized molecule, it is very reactive to many substances. Like if you point ozone to a rubber glove, it'll melt it down within your eyesight. It'll just melt down the rubber glove. What will happen if it goes to your tissues? What do you think will happen? The Germans knew what would happen. Do you know the total risk for ozone incidents in the world for any harm? 0.0007%. You will die of an aspirin before anything else in ozone. Okay? Ozone is the safest, cheapest, and readily available nutrient in the world. But you have to find it, because it's not just going to be easy to just get it. Okay? And I can't just give you all that information, because if it's misused, then what happens is we might lose access to it. You have to be responsible. How you get it, why, and all these things that has to be seen. But it's available. That's what I'm saying. It's available. It's you can't. Ozone can be purchased in many different ways, but you can't. You really can't. It's not available unless you know how to get it, because it is not approved as whether it's any kind of chronic disease. As a chronic disease treatment. It's not approved by the FDA. But the Germans knew about it since the 1800s. Okay, so obviously Germany is a leading country for alternative health and cancer disease care. Okay, so it is also, oxygen is also an antimicrobial. So they use that, by the way, in the US for the purpose of killing microbes in a sewage plant. So the municipal plant, the water municipal plants out there, they know what ozone does. But to make that thought, that principle, apply into your body, there's no connection there. So they will not say that it's safe for you. But they know what it does to their treatment plants. It will control and kill a bacteria. So it is extremely more powerful than antibiotics, but very safe. And it supports energy and metabolism, because ozone is very unstable. It wants to release that extra oxygen, more so than an oxygen hyperbaric therapy. Have you heard of that? Hyperbaric therapy? You have to go in a tent with under pressure with oxygen, and you're breathing that, and you're staying there for about 3 to 4 hours. Ozone is more powerful, because it already wants to release the oxygen. So the moment it contacts your bloodstream and your tissues, it's going to release it, and in your bloodstream, it becomes peroxide. And peroxide is harmful to cells that do not have certain enzymes, like catalase, reductase, glutathione peroxidase, anything with an ACE. These are enzymes that protect cells. But the beauty about it, cancer cells do not have those enzymes. Bacteria cells, those pathogens, don't have those enzymes built in. You think it's an intelligence out here somewhere? So it will break the cells and breaks it apart when it's exposed to peroxide, but your healthy cells will be intact. So it's a very powerful assist to destroying microbes and cancer cells. When ozone is introduced in the body, it's like pouring water onto the street. The street will fill with the water at the places where it has the lowest dip first, before the flooding starts, right? The rice. What's interesting in research, they found that ozone, when it gets into the body as peroxide, it will seek out the places that have the lowest level of oxygen. Do you get the significance? It will seek places in the body that has the lowest level of oxygen. Whatever chronic disease you have. So where will it go first? Once you get ozone into the body, where will it go first? I think you know. Okay? And then when it goes into that area, the mitochondria starts to power up, and cancer will lose a hold, because there's oxygen going into the mitochondria. You will lose that pathway to lactic acid. Oh, Man, what powerful information. How can you have fermentation if you have oxygen to push it into the mitochondria? So the pyruvate will go into the mitochondria because of the presence of oxygen. Amazing. Lifestyle, of course, is your platform. That's where you launch the program of reversing chronic disease. But when it's a very serious form of chronic disease like cancer, you need to step up and increase support to your damaged organs. So it is not a lifestyle. The lifestyle that you will fall back on after the therapy is going to be the healthy lifestyle that includes fresh air, oxygen, exercise to increase circulation. You need to have contact with God because He is the one that will give you the wisdom to do what is right. It's in the heart. You will know it, but in your conscience, you just know that this is wrong. Whatever they're offering me, it doesn't connect with me. I feel like it's violation. It's extreme. And some of you may not have a choice but to follow extreme measures. But you know in your heart that as a God-fearing person, you are hurting something. It's a poison. It's killing a lot of cells. Can we find something that's more that's natural, that's safer? That's what you need to weigh all the time. Is it safer than what I have been offered? You need to rest from stress. Did you know that stress leads to high acidity in the body? Stress actually is immune suppressor. Did you know that? When you're highly stressed, your body releases cortisol. And cortisol is an immune suppressor. That's what they give people with brain cancer and the brain had undergone surgery or radiation, and they give them prednisone, a total immune suppressor that will have no hope in the Gerson therapy because you're going the wrong direction. You're trying to build your immune system up at the same time you're suppressing it with a drug, extremely powerful. When someone is in prednisone, he is not a candidate for the Gerson therapy. Also, you need to have a positive mental attitude. A positive mental attitude can go a long ways. How do you get that? If you are in constant connection with God daily in prayer, you are convinced and convicted and know that you're doing the best you can. And no matter what happens, you can rest in God that you're doing the right thing and He'll help you through if it's His will. But you're doing already what you're supposed to do. And everything will flow in and you will be comforted because no matter what happens, you already know you're resting in Him. So as long as you follow Him and follow what's right, you will get better results and your quality of life will be much better than when you're loaded down with chemicals. The longer you are in chemo, even if you're living through cancer, because they always have to keep putting it on, keeps coming back. I have somebody right now in Iowa who is going through exactly the same thing. Since 2006, she's been fighting cancer. And the doctor keeps changing the drugs because it keeps getting resistant. And she keeps changing and changing and changing. And her life is just dwindling and dwindling because the more and more chemicals you're in your body, the more difficult your body can repair. So she's going downhill. I'm trying to help her with the Gerson therapy, modified version. But it seems like I am just not getting very much other than helping maybe slow it down a little bit. But it's still moving forward. So it's better to be fully drug-free if you can. And water. You can't drink water, like I said, if you're already drinking 13 juices. But if you're drinking less than 13 juices, let's say 8 then you need to drink the difference, 5 to 6 cups of water or tea, chamomile tea or peppermint tea. Those are good. Good to calm your stomach down. And peppermint tea, if you feel a reaction to bile, like a nauseous, you drink some peppermint tea and that will help. Okay, healing reaction is your body's act of healing. That's exactly what it is. How do you know you have a healing reaction? I always have all my clients take their body temperature and their vitals, blood pressure, pulse, oral temperature, armpit temperature, 2 temperatures, and weight, because those are signs. If someone is gaining weight in a cancer therapy and we know that the energy is also increased, I know the person is doing well. That's just bottom line. If you gain weight and you're feeling more energy, without a shadow of doubt, in my mind, you must be improving. I have to see it for myself by running some lab tests, but you must be improving. Your body temperature in a healing inflammation is usually somewhere around 100 to 104 degrees, average. Now, what's interesting is that if you have a body temperature at that level, what do most people do? You take an anti-inflammatory. The very act that the body is trying to help you, you suppress. Wow. It's a price. Your body is trying to heal, and you're suppressing it. That's a violation of the loss of health. Extremely. It's trying to heal. We have a God-given healing ability. And when you suppress that, are you saying, God, I don't need that right now? Wow. Do not suppress body temperature. Let it ride, just like they did in the past. Let it ride. Now, if your body temperature is over 105 degrees, or 105, you are nearly in a state of delirium. Sometimes you do have to control it down a little bit, drop it down. But most people don't get that high. I have people who don't get body temperature up at all, and I'm concerned, because they're not going to heal unless you have an increased body temp. Because an increased body temp means there's an increased amount of white cells circulating. So it's a systemic body temperature increase. Increased white cells, if you do a blood test, WBC will be up, WBC count. At the same time, there is an action going on in the site of the cancer. There's a whole lot of information and activity in the cancer area. So the cancer may feel larger because of the engorgement of everything. All the inflammatory chemicals that are drawing white cells. Come on over. Come on, we're having a party. We've got to break this tumor down. And then you take an immune suppressor, like prednisone, because you don't want the swelling. You can see why we have a different system of thinking, of healing. There's usually a decrease in energy. It takes a lot of energy to do that. As you know, the body temperature is up. You're usually in bed, and you're probably perspiring, and you have a loss of appetite, and you have to let it go. Just bring your fluids with electrolytes. At that point, if you have to drink some coconut water, go ahead. You need electrolytes. You need to support hydration during that time. If you're not hungry, don't worry. Your body doesn't need it. If you try to eat something, you're going to throw it up. Forget it. It's usually 3 to 5 days. And you'll break through that. And when you do, all of a sudden you'll feel, wow, I've had a lot of energy. What happened? And, you know, my tumor feels smaller. It feels smaller. You're like, yeah, it feels smaller than it first started. Here's another kind, though. It's called a toxic reaction. This kind is not favorable. Okay, now, you already learned, as I mentioned earlier, what is a toxic reaction? How does that happen? What happened to the plumbing system? It got backed up. That's simple. Where did it get back up? Fantastic. Someone really had the answer. That's a straight A student. The liver. It got backed up in the liver. And so now you know that. What are you going to do? What? You got to help the liver and detoxify. What do? What? Liver. Fantastic. You are thinking straight. You are a doctor for your own body. Wow. You are doctoring yourself. Amazing. Okay. A liver cleanse. Somebody is thinking you're straight. Okay. So when you have diarrhea, vomiting, you have headaches, you have fatigue, increased fatigue, significant weight loss, that is a sign that it is backed up in the blood. Okay? So V for vomiting, D for diarrhea, that's one of the two things of three. See, vomiting, nausea. Nausea, vomiting, and diarrhea. That is a sign of a toxic reaction. Where does a person end up when they have that? In the hospital. They're toxic. They're ending up in the hospital. Okay? When you should be detoxifying. But you don't know what to do. You mean if I just helped the liver, I would feel much better? Yes, you will. Check your body temperature. Check your vitals. So a toxic reaction is sometimes accompanied with a healing inflammation. So it's somehow hard to differentiate. At the same time, you're trying to determine, is this a bug? Now, did I tell you that bugs also live in the same environment? It's an environmental issue, right? Which came first? Is it the bug or is it the toxins that's doing it? Does it matter? It doesn't matter. You need to help the liver. It's the liver's job, and it's weak, so assist the detoxification. When you have detoxified enough, the recovery, there is a window that I've experienced, 9 to 12-month window in cancer. 9 to 12 months. Can you last 9 months at least on the Gerson therapy with 13 juices a day? Can you last? Because that's what I do when I'm screening people. If you don't think it's hard, you're not a candidate. If you think it's hard, you are a candidate, but you must have family support to help you make the juice because it takes energy to do that and you don't have it. Okay? You can't work if you have stage four. Obviously, most people who have stage four probably have already quit their jobs. You can't work. You're a recipient of everything that happens at home. So you need someone to be rotating in the kitchen, maybe two to three people, preparing the juice, preparing the food, and just serving it you. And you're just in a recliner, conserving energy, sipping the juice, eating the vegetables, taking your supplements, drinking the herbal cleanses, detoxifying, all that. You have to take in, but they're giving it to you. So you are at home in your own home hospital for 9 to 12 months. If you survive that 9 to 12 months where you don't have any hiccups along the road, where you didn't end up in ER due to an obstruction of the colon, if it's colon cancer, or you didn't end up in ER because you had a major infection, then your prognosis becomes very good once you reach 9 to 12 months. That's usually the time I've seen people either stop the cancer or reversed it, and they're doing much better. And at that point, that's the halfway mark, the second year, you're just cruising. Just staying on a program, but slight modification. At the end of the 2 years, you haven't had any recurrence of cancer. It hasn't gone progressed forward. You are now qualified to be on maintenance. especially if the cancer is decreasing in size. You're right about the maintenance part, and that's when I discharge them to a more maintenance level. So you're going to be on reduced juice frequency, maybe 4 cups a day instead of 13, and then you're going to be on some supplements, not as many. You're going to have liver support, but much more reduced. And you're going to be still a vegetarian, vegan. Occasionally, if you can't remain a vegan, at that point, you will allow a little bit of an animal product, if you have to. But a little, because it's not going to help your digestive system, remember. You're better off living longer as a vegan, and there's scientific studies to support that. The blue zone is one. So how do you know that you are getting better? You have what? Energy. No one in this world has a lot of energy and is sick. You will not find that. And you can tell if someone is healthy by looking at their daily pattern. If they're drinking a lot of coffee, they are not healthy. Their energy is shot. That's why they need coffee, to stimulate the adrenals. So you're really draining your adrenal glands. And then after that, it leads to hypothyroid. Now you're ready for cancer. Do not drink coffee. It is a mask. It will not help your energy. It's an energy drainer. It is an adrenal drain. Coffee is a toxin. When you drink coffee, it stimulates and increases your heart rate, and it is a drain to your system. You'll gain weight. So all the weight loss that you have, you'll gain it back. Oh, no problem. I had one woman. She was 210 pounds at the start. She went down to as low as 127, which is ideal for her height, 5'6". And then now she's on maintenance, and she's about 135 to 140. Never again to go back to 210, because you'll increase your risk of cancer when you gain weight. So your risk of cancer is higher when you have extra weight, because that means extra energy drain, extra fats, which toxins are stored into, so you have more toxins. And if you have an estrogen-positive hormone cancer, then you are at risk for more breast cancer recurrence. By eliminating fats, you reduce your risk of any chronic disease. So anyone who goes on a weight loss program is actually getting healthy. It doesn't matter what weight loss program, but if you know the best weight loss program, which is the lifestyle and high plant-based diet, then you will have low levels of or incidence of chronic disease. So you'll improve your color and energy levels. You will sleep better. Your mind becomes clear. You know you're getting better. You have increased motivation. You want now to help other people. That's the nice thing about this. You're now ready to share. It's a testimony that you're better. You also have the lab and imaging evidence that your cancer has reduced, or they can no longer find it. And this is where you really need to understand more about lifestyle. Lifestyle education is very important. This church is so proactive into that. And you need to have more information. You need to talk to somebody here in this church about how to get into a lifestyle modification to improve health. There's so many programs. This church is incredible. There's so many health programs, and it's probably this is probably the healthiest church, right? I hope so. There should be, yes. So it will empower you, and you will be able to experience God's gift of health to you. It's yours for free. It's just that you're not using it. Okay. We are done for this section. And let's do we have to take a break again? Maybe five? Take five? 5 to 7 minutes, okay? 7 minutes. And then we'll start the next one before lunch. Lunch is going to be at 12, so I have to stop at 12.